I know, just a few conversations that I've had even today, like before the service. I don't know if any of you have been sick. I know, like Pastor Tracy's son Nathaniel is sick, and I've been slightly under the weather as well. And this room's sort of cold, and so we hope that you, if you are sick, that you'll recover quickly. And if you know other people who are sick, you could pray for them. But it's good to see all of you here this morning. We've been going through a sermon series called Rhythms of Grace. And we talked about things like meditation, meditating God's word. We talked about Sabbath. We talked about solitude. Last Sunday, we talked about corporate worship, how we come regularly to worship God together. And what we're saying is, we're saying that through these means, that we really can connect with God well. Like we can learn to like walk with God and work with God. Oftentimes in our culture, we want things to happen quickly, right? We want the food to come out quickly, or we want people to respond to us quickly. We are in a culture that people are moving fast and quickly. But one thing that doesn't happen quickly is, I think, our just spiritual growth. It just takes time for us to develop like walks with God. And so what we are saying is, if you can regularly and consistently practice these rhythms of grace, you will eventually become more like Christ as you walk with him. And so these things like Sabbath, doesn't seem like it's gonna help you to become a spiritual giant or know God better than the next week, but we are saying if you kind of practice these things in a regular basis, you actually can grow. And so that's what we're shooting for. We're looking at sort of a long-term vision for us and our church, and we're saying, let's make sure that we become people who regularly practice rhythms so that we can grow closer to God. And today we're going to talk about fasting. Now, fasting, maybe out of all the disciplines or all these rhythms, might be most unpopular, and I think probably most difficult. I think it's because, I don't know how many of you fasted before, but like when I look at my life, sort of when I was younger and even now, like fasting often becomes just starving. Like you're kind of dealing with your hunger pains, and you just want the time to come when you can eat your next meal. It just becomes just survival, sort of. I still remember when I was in seminary, like my roommate and I decided to fast once a week. I think we said Wednesdays. And so we would fast from midnight to midnight. And man, he was better than me. But by the time about 9 o'clock came, like I wasn't thinking about anything else. I wasn't thinking about God. I wasn't thinking about scripture. I mean, I was just hungry and my stomach was in pain. And like around 9 o'clock, I would start to prepare like the food. Like, what should I eat? Take the stuff out from the freezer and, defrost, I don't know, a piece of chicken and get the rice going. And I'll be waiting until midnight. And when it struck midnight, we would devour like what was in front of us as fast as we could. And then, around 1 a.m., we're like full, tired, fall asleep. Next morning, you wake up and you just like, you don't feel right, you don't feel good. And looking back, I'm not sure if it really benefited me spiritually. But I think when we look at scripture, like so many people who really walked with God, they fasted. So you have examples like David and Elijah, Esther, Daniel, Anna, Paul, even Jesus himself. I mean, they all fasted. And even when you look at like sort of church history, like people who like really like knew God and walked with God, people who were used by God, people like Martin Luther, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, David Brainerd, Charles Finney. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. I mean, fasting was a regular part of their life. And so I think there is a spiritual benefit in fasting when we get into sort of regular rhythm of fasting that we might not know of. And so I do want to talk about that today and hopefully towards the end and give you some suggestions where fasting can be helpful in your walk with God. And so if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. We'll read from verse 14 through verse 17. It's a really short passage, But I think here we get sort of the essence of fasting, and then afterwards I'll make some suggestions on fasting. So essence of fasting, some suggestions on fasting. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guest mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into an old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." We'll pause there. This is God's word. All right, essence of fasting. All right, so during Jesus' time, in the Old Testament, look at the Old Testament, really, there's only really one explicit command that God gives about fasting, and that's for the Jews to fast on the Day of the Atonement. And then maybe a few special occasions, but there wasn't many explicit commands on fasting in the Old Testament. Now, people did fast, but it wasn't something that God commanded them to do. Now, during Jesus' time, you had the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They've sort of, again, came up with these rules where they fasted twice a week. Now, when you look at Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount passage, it seemed like a lot of these religious leaders fasted so that they could feel good about themselves. So they would make sure that others knew that they were fasting. So Jesus says things like, you know, when you fast, make sure that you clean yourself, you wash your face, and make sure that no one knows that you're fasting. And if you could do that, then your Heavenly Father will see you and honor your fasting. But during Jesus' time, it seemed like a lot of religious leaders sort of fasted for self-righteousness. They wanted to feel better about themselves. And so they would fast twice a week. And it seemed like when John the Baptist came, his disciples adopted this sort of religious guideline and also fasted twice a week. And so they come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, like, we fast, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, fast. How come you and your disciples do not fast?" Right? And when you look at the Gospels, Jesus is not fasting, actually. He's oftentimes feasting. Right? He's, like, right before this passage, you have Jesus sitting with tax collectors and sinners, like, eating and drinking. And so they come to Jesus and, "Oh, Jesus, we're fasting. Like we are trying to be pious, religious people, but why aren't you fasting and why aren't your disciples fasting?" Look at verse 15. This is Jesus' response. Jesus says, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" That's his response. Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? And here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, in the Old Testament and during this time, fasting meant mourning. Like, it was mourning for their sin and repentance. And Jesus is saying, like, "I am here. The long-awaited Messiah. Me, I am here. The King of the universe. I've come. This is not time to fast. This is not time to mourn. Actually, it's time to rejoice and feast and celebrate." Like, he's saying, "I am the bridegroom. Like, I am the one whom all people from all throughout the Old Testament has been waiting for. I am here, and I've broken into this world with God's power. The kingdom of God is here." And he's basically saying, when I'm here, man, how can you mourn? How can you fast when I'm here? And so, I mean, imagine something like this, right? It's like, imagine a beautiful wedding. You have a beautiful bride and groom, and their friends are there, and their family members are there, and they're, what are they doing? They're drinking and eating and celebrating and dancing. I mean, that's normal. That's what weddings are supposed to be like. Like, there would be something extremely wrong if during this wedding, like, people are weeping and crying and repenting. I mean, those two do not mix. And that's what Jesus here is saying. Jesus is saying, because the bridegroom, because I'm here, right now is not the time to fast. He's basically saying, do you understand who I am? Like, I am the Son of God, and I've come to be with you. Don't you get it? Like, don't you get it? Now is time to celebrate. And that's what Jesus is saying. And to kind of add on to that, Jesus gives this two really short, illustrations, right? In verse 16, it says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment and the worst tear is made. Verse 17, neither is new wine put into old wineskin. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. I mean, the point Jesus is making is these two things, the old way of the religiosity of doing things and the kingdom of God, the new way that I have brought in, do not mix. That's what he's saying. I think a lot of times, you know, those of you who might be familiar with this passage here, you know, you might have heard things like, oh, this was like an old way to the church, and now this is a new way to the church, like old wineskin and new wine. I think in this context, that's not really what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is saying, like, this is the old way, if you kind of, in the context, talk, this old way how you fasted, like you mourned. But the kingdom of God is here. I've come. Like, these two things do not fit. These things do not mix together. It will be ridiculous for you to mourn now since I am here. Now, Jesus does say in verse 15, the day will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them and they will fast. So Jesus says, since I'm here, I am the bridegroom, it's not time for you to fast. But once I am gone, you will fast. And so the question is, and that's us, right? Jesus was here. He's taken away, and he'll return. He'll come back. But during this time, Jesus says his disciples, we will fast. So the question then is, what does that fasting look like? And how do we do it that's different than the Pharisees, how the Pharisees did it? So that's what sort of we want to talk about. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at. Jesus is saying, you've tasted the new wine. You've tasted the gospel. Like you know who I am. And so now when you fast, what you're doing is you are now hungering for more of what you've tasted from me. But he's saying, now you know the gospel. You know the kingdom of how the kingdom of God is like. Even in this passage, like the passage before it, Jesus is eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. Right after this passage, Jesus heals a woman who's been sick for 12 years, and then he raises a girl from the dead. And those sections, they go together in all the synoptic gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're all sort of combined, and I think we're supposed to read it together. And basically it's saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like feasting. It's like healing. It's like the wholeness of God's goodness have come. And that's what Jesus ushers in. And so when we fast, I think what we're supposed to do is we have to be thinking about all the blessings of God, like who Jesus is and all the things that he brought in. And for those of us who've sort of tasted that, when we fast, we're saying, God, I want more of this, right? God, I want more of your kingdom here now. I want more of your presence here now because you've come, because I've tasted your goodness. So I think it's something like this. So this past week, our small group had a study, and one of the questions that we asked was, hey, describe to us when you really encountered God, right? And so someone said, you know, I've encountered God even when things were chaotic and hectic, I just felt God's peace. Like I knew that God was with me. There was a sense of peace in my heart, even when things were chaotic. Someone else said, I was worshiping and praying, and I just sensed God speaking to me in this way, and I was able to follow through what God was, felt like God was impressing upon my heart. I mean, those things are like how we encounter God. And so what we are doing when we fast is I recall like how good you are, Lord, how good you've been in my life, and I want more of that now. So like for me, I would say like when I think back in my, even when I was little, like when I was in high school, like for no reason, I just remember praying with like my youth group, just at a retreat or some kind of like a youth conference. And I just remember like just praying, nothing like out of ordinary, just praying to God, just sensing God's presence. And for me at that time, it felt like fire. Like I felt my body like just feeling hot. Like I didn't ask for anything. It wasn't like I was following Christ like committed Christian, but as I was praying, I just felt God's presence. So when I even think about things like that, I go, man, that was amazing. I didn't know how to put all those things together, but I think when I fast, I could be saying, God, I knew you were, I felt your presence, and I want like more of you now. I want your presence now. And it doesn't even have to be something like that. It could be, I mean, all the time when I was in college, I remember like opening the Bible and kind of reading, and I remember like feeling like God was like speaking to me through the Bible, through Scripture. Never happened before, but when I was doing like just reading a passage, God would speak to me through like Scripture, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, God, I know this is what you're saying to me, and just sensing God's presence. Anything like that, like when you felt close to God, when you experienced God's presence, when we fast, what we're saying is, God, we've sensed, experienced, encountered your presence. I want more of you here and now. Now, some of you might be saying, but I've never felt anything like that. And that's fine. I think what we could do is you get the gospel, and you can read the gospel and like read things like, Jesus, wow, you heal this woman. Been bleeding for 12 years. Like, I want more of that in my life. And so when you fast, you're saying, God, I need this, like in your word, where you brought healing to someone who was sick. As you fast, you're saying, God, I want more of you in that way now. Right? Or it could even be, God, I look at the gospels and you came and you healed the broken. Like, you took compassion on the marginalized. We look at that and say, God, I want more of that, the kingdom of God here and now as you fast. And I think that's why in the Old Testament there's connection between fasting and like doing justice and mercy. Like it's like saying, God, I want your kingdom to come here and now. Like I long and hunger for you now. Because what I read here, what I've experienced, been so good. Let me just pause and just think about just even in your life now. Think about what you're like, what you're longing for. I don't know. Maybe it's maybe you had a nice meal like I don't know the other day, and you just go, that was so good. I want more of that, you know. Or it could be I don't know, you got together with a couple of friends and just had a great time, just connected well, and just feel like, man, I want more of that now. Something that, like, was so good, you keep thinking about it. Like, you keep, like, when before you go to sleep, you go, man, that was so nice. I want more of that in my life. I think that's the heartbeat of fasting. Like, the essence of fasting is, God, like, what you did in my life, or God, what you showed me, or God, how you did this, or God, what I read in Scripture. Well, that's so beautiful. That's so good. I just want more of that in my life. Like, that's the essence of fasting. I think in the sort of the new Christian, New Testament Christian, it's something that we've tasted, something that we've read in Scripture that I don't know, pulls us. And so we think about that. God, I just want more of that in my life, more of you in my life. And so I think that's the essence of fasting. All right, so I'm going to give you some suggestions. Okay, I have four things really quickly. One, so if essence of fasting is like hungering for more of God, then we need to always couple fasting with prayer. So fasting is not just dieting, you know? Like about 20 years ago, when I was in Philly, we started a church plant, and I thought I was being so, I don't know, faith-filled. So I told, it was like a core group of about, I don't know, 12 people, and we wanted to start a church in Philly. So I told them, hey, let's fast, right? And I said, let's fast for 40 days, okay? Right. Don't be too impressed. Let me show you what happened, okay? 40 days. And I said, it doesn't have to be, like, you know, food. It could be something, like, something that you kind of give up and say, I'm going to fast and, you know, pray. Gosh, I don't know. Looking back, three of us actually fasted from solid food, you know? Like, two guys were, they're pretty big, and so I think in their mind, they kind of said, I'm going to give up food because partly they wanted to kind of get smaller. And I said, I'll fast, you know, I'll fast with you. So I gave up solid food for 40 days. I was just, like, I wasn't thinking straight. For some reason, I thought 40 days meant 4 weeks. 40 days actually is 6 weeks. So in my mind, I said, okay, all right, you know, maybe. And so, by the way, I drink a lot of juice. I mean, so it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't water fast. It had a lot of juice and a lot of just stuff, shake. So I don't know if it was really solid food fasting, but you know, like losing a lot of weight. And like by the third week, it was approaching the fourth week, and I was like, oh, I'm almost done. This is great. I'm almost done. Man, I was only halfway. I had another like 3 weeks left. And by the end of like 6 weeks, like to be honest, again, I'm just saying this because there was nothing, I feel like it wasn't, again, looking back, I don't know how beneficial it was to my spiritual life. I just sort of got sick at the end, lost a lot of weight, body weight, and a lot of muscle mass. And so looking back, I am not sure if it was like really good fasting. But my point is, so it's not just starving. It's not just not eating, right, when we fast. It's not dieting, but it's fasting with prayer. I mean, scripture is, like, they're always coupled together, right? So you fast, but you have to pray. So let's say you're fasting one meal a week. Well, during that time, you're not, like, on Netflix, or you're not, like, browsing the internet, but it's, like, during that time, as you fast, you're praying, because what you're saying is, God, I want more of you in my life. Right, number two. Hunger for more of God in a particular situation in your life through fasting. So it seems like when you look at scripture in the Old Testament, where like the prophets and even the New Testament, like there were occasions that caused God's people to fast. It sharpened their prayers. So there's so many examples, right? In Ezra, like he was to lead the Israelites back to Jerusalem. It was a long journey. And so he called fast. He said, let's fast and pray for this journey. Nehemiah, right? When Nehemiah heard that the walls of Jerusalem was torn down and the city gates were burned, I mean, he wept, but he said, let's fast and pray. Queen Esther, when she realized that the Jews were in danger, she called all the Jews in the capital city of Susa to fast and pray. Even the early church, you know, in Acts chapter 13, you know, they sensed that God wanted to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And as they were praying for Barnabas and Paul, like they fasted and prayed. I mean, it happened again and again. And so I think what I want to say is, like, so as we're thinking about rhythms of grace, like, how do we connect with God? There might be seasons in your life where, whether it's an obstacle that's, like, that's hard, or there's a season where you just feel like you want more of God, like, just in this situation, consider praying and fasting together. Again, it doesn't have to be like weeks or even days, but just maybe a meal, maybe two meals. But consider fasting and prayer. Bring those two things together, because I think that's sort of the pattern in Scripture. And so I think we're saying, God, in this situation, like it's hard or it's difficult. In this situation, I want more of you. That's what we're doing, right? I want more of you in this situation. And so when we even started Tyson site here, I don't know, like 5 years ago or so, like the group that sort of organized this, we prayed and we fasted because we were saying, God, we need more of you here. And so consider if you're going through a season in life that's just, I don't know, like difficult or it seems like you just need more of God, consider praying and fasting together. Number three, fast also, I think, invites more of God into our inner life. There's a passage in Deuteronomy where Moses is talking to the Israelites, and Moses says, you know, one of the reasons why God calls you to starve in the desert was to know what's in your heart. That's what Moses said. Kind of think about that. What he's saying is, because you went hungry, like you were able to recognize what was in your heart. Like what? Like how does that? Like, because I think that's sort of the essence of like fasting in terms of having spiritual benefits. Moses says, like, as you fast, you're going to have the opportunity to recognize sort of what's in your heart. And Moses in the Deuteronomy passage says, like, you recognize how rebellious you were. Like, how does fasting kind of do that? So when we fast now, I think what we can say is, God, I want more of you in my inner life. And I think this is how it works. Like, food is, it's like, it brings comfort, right? And so, let's say you're going through, let's say at work, you know, you got a bad yearly review from your boss, you know, and you just feel like really discouraged. Feel depressed, and you come home, and you know, you just like you're anxious, and the evil one, the devil, comes along and it says things like, oh, "Man, you know, you like, God, you're never gonna measure up. It's not gonna work for you. You know, you should just quit. You should give up." I mean, all these things come up here, like from your sort of your mind and your heart. You know how oftentimes, like we kind of deal with things like that, situations like that in our life is. Like we eat, like we get a bowl of ice cream and you kind of eat, because you know what it does is it makes us feel better, like during that time, like it, so that negative, I don't know, like pain or disappointment in our hearts, it sort of disappears for a season. Like we eat, we mint chocolate chip, I don't know, ice cream, you eat and you just feel better. You get a nice steak or you go out. You eat, just feel better. Like, it doesn't have to be food. It could be ESPN.com. You just kind of browse, and you're just reading an article about, I don't know, the Nationals. Just, oh, man, they won the World Series. Oh, just feel a little bit better. And you just kind of like, these like things that's gnawing at you, they kind of disappear. That's how most of us live. Like, rather than kind of thinking about, man, what's, like, why am I so discouraged? Like, why is my soul so bothered by what this person said about me? Rather than kind of thinking through that and bringing that to God, like we numb that with things that bring us comfort. It could be food, it could be entertainment, little pleasures. What we do when we fast is we are saying, God, I want more of you in my heart, in my soul. So let's say you go to Netflix to find that comfort. You say, I'm going to fast. I'm going to put that aside so that I can really recognize what's in my heart. So that I can come to you, God, and allow you to speak into my heart. Allow the gospel to penetrate into my soul. Not the little comfort that food or these other things provide in my life. That's why I think fasting helps us to go deeper with God. We're pushing aside in some ways these other superficial things that bring us temporary pleasure So we say, God, here's my heart. I'm anxious. Please show me why and help me. You're inviting God deeper into your life. Lastly, and then we're done, is we have the Lent season coming. And consider fasting during Lent. Because Lent is time, throughout church history, right? Lent is a time when churches gave up certain things to identify with Jesus' suffering as he went to the cross. As he died for us, he suffered and died for us. What we're saying during that season is, I'm going to identify with Jesus' suffering as I fast from certain things so that on Good Friday, on Easter, I can rise with him and live the Christian life through his power. So during that like 6 weeks, we are saying, God, Jesus, I want to identify with you. And so consider fasting during Lent. It's coming up in about 2 weeks. And again, it could be a meal per week. Maybe it's a lunch on Wednesday. You kind of fast, and during that time, you're reading scripture, you're praying, or maybe you're fasting something like ESPN, I don't know, and you're like not going on that site just so that you have more space. Whatever it might be, you're saying, Jesus, I want to identify more with you during this season. So consider fasting during Lent. Now, I'm done, but let's just, again, this fasting is, I think, a little tougher because, it's unless I think we do it right, we don't experience spiritual benefits from fasting. So my suggestion would be just take little steps. Maybe it's like one meal per week and just kind of say, God, I'm going to skip lunch on Wednesdays, for example, and say, God, I want to sort of have this space open so that I am saying, God, I want more of you in my life. Whether that's for a particular reason or just for you to be aware of what's going on in my life, I just want more of you during this season. And I think if we could kind of get into that kind of sort of rhythm, whether that happens weekly or monthly or, however often you want to do it, I think it does sharpen, I think, our prayer. Like we're saying, God, I want more of you in my life during this season for these reasons. All right, let's pray. We'll close our time. We'll sing a song as we close, but maybe we could just pause even now. And we do live in a culture where there are so many options for us. One of the things that we don't like is we don't like to be bored in our culture. There are so many options to just, do things and fill our life with activities, little pleasures. And again, these are not wrong things, obviously. Food is good. It's a gift from God. But I think time to time, it's beneficial for us to set aside a season and kind of say, God, more than these good gifts that you've given me, I long for you and I hunger for you. Let's make that prayer, whether you are going to practice fasting or not. Maybe this morning, let's just pray for that. And it could be something like this, something as concrete as, God, I need more of you like in my heart. Or, Lord God, I need more of you in my marriage. Or, God, I need more of you in my parenting. Or, God, I need more of you as I make decisions in my life. I need more of you. So let's make that our prayer this morning, and we'll sing a song as we close. So let's do that. Give us a moment to pause and do that now.